Lord's Day 18. What do you mean by saying Jesus ascended to heaven? That Christ, while his disciples watched, was taken up from the earth into heaven, and he remains there on our behalf until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. He's there right now. But isn't Christ with us until the end of the world, as he promised? Christ is true man and true God. In his human nature, Christ is not now on earth. But in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent from us. If his humanity is not present wherever his divinity is, then aren't the two natures of Christ separated from each other? Certainly not, since divinity is not limited and is present everywhere. It is evident that Christ's divinity is surely beyond the bounds of his humanity that he's taken on, but at the same time, his divinity is in and remains personally united to his humanity. So then how does Christ's ascension to heaven benefit us? First, he is our advocate in heaven in the presence of the Father. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that Christ, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a corresponding pledge. By the Spirit's power, we seek not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. And then let's turn to God's Word, Romans 8. On page 1123, 1123, about Christ being at God's right hand interceding for us. Romans 8, we'll read verses 28 through 34 on page 1123. Romans 8, we'll begin to read at verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. There ends God's holy word. Who is he? Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who's the right hand of God interceding for us. It's good news, brothers and sisters. May God bless that word to our hearts and lives. Today, brothers and sisters in Jesus, we want to talk about one of the most glorious and yet at the same time one of the most forgotten and neglected of Jesus' accomplishments. And that is his ascension into heaven. We remember Christmas much, in one way or another. We remember Good Friday quite a bit less. We remember Easter maybe a little bit more, but the ascension almost not at all. But it's his crowning achievement. It's the ultimate triumph. The soldier has come to earth to fight against sin and the devil, and he's gone back home again. That means he was successful. Mission accomplished. That's why it's so important. We want to look at two things. The exaltation of Christ to heaven. And then the exaltation of Christians to heaven. What does the ascension mean for Christ, first of all? And then what does it mean for Christians? Believers, secondly. May God help us to exalt the exalted Christ. First, the exaltation of Christ in his ascension. What does it mean for Jesus? On the 43rd day after his crucifixion, on the 40th day after his resurrection, while he was with his 11 disciples on the Mount of Olives, teaching them, comforting them, suddenly, while his hands were stretched out in blessing over them, he lifted off. He went up, 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 and away into the sky until a glory cloud hid him from the sight of the disciples, and they saw him no more. Where did he go? Where did Jesus go? Where is he now? Well, the Bible says it in different ways. The Bible says in one passage, Jesus went through the heavens, Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 7, 26, he went above the heavens. Ephesians 4, verse 10, he went far above all the heavens. Ephesians 1, he's at God's right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Sometimes it just says, though, he went into heaven. So which is true? Well, the words are different, but the meaning is always the same. Jesus went to the highest heaven, the place where God's throne is, above the sky, above the planets, above the galaxies, to the right hand of the throne of the majesty, life in another dimension. We don't know where it is. But he ascended. It's real. God's headquarters. And a human being is there. Jesus. He's our own flesh. He's God and man. United in one person. A human being is there. Gone ahead of us. He's sitting on the throne of the nations. And what an accomplishment that is. What a victory. Think of the Olympians' victory. The athletes' accomplishments. You can think of them in three stages. First, he runs the race. Goes through the sweat, the blood, and the tears of running the race. Then he wins the race. He crosses the finish line. He's not done yet. Then he takes the podium. And he gets the gold medal. And he calls all to focus the attention on the goal. Well, that's the same as it is with Jesus. His suffering and death are like running the race. Sweat, blood, tears. His resurrection is like crossing the finish line. But then at his ascension, he's climbing up the podium to receive his medal and calling all the world to focus attention on his glory. Here's the goal. Focus on the goal. The glory. It's an important moment. He's going back to heaven. He's returning to the glory that he had with the Father before he came at Christmas. When he descended into the lower regions of the earth, says the Bible, he came down with a job to do, with a mission to save sinners, to reclaim God's chosen ones from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, from the condemnation of sin, from the punishment of sin, from the full weight of God's wrath against sin. That's what he came to do. It's heavy stuff. It's deadly stuff. He came to face off with the devil who held his people in bondage, in slavery to sin. He came to destroy Satan. He was sent to redeem us with his precious blood. And now he's going back home. The victory is won. He's climbing the podium to receive his reward. He's a successful warrior. He's the grand champion. He's a true superhero. He's a true victor. Hail the day that sees him rise. Hallelujah. To his throne beyond the skies. Hallelujah. We'll sing that in a little bit, Lord willing. It's a great day, the day of his ascension. It's a more day. I like the way Paul says it in Romans 8, who shall bring, we read that if you look at verses 33 and 34, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Nobody, it's God who justifies. God has justified you. Nobody can undo that. So who is to condemn? Nobody. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More. More than that. And he gives us three mores. He was raised. More. He's at the right hand of God. More. He's interceding for us. More. 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 More than risen. Ascended and interceding. Jesus said to his disciples before he died that after his resurrection, his death and resurrection, he would return to heaven. They were just heartbroken. We can't live without you. But he said, it's for your good, for your benefit that I'm going away. What are the blessings? What are the accomplishments of Christ and his ascension? Let's quickly look at six of them. The exalted Christ and his ascension is in a place now of mediation. Mediation is the first one. His sacrifice for sin was finished, completely finished. Do you remember the journey of the high priest in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement? Once a year, he would shed the blood of a lamb. That lamb would be destroyed instead of God's people. And all the wrath of God would go upon that lamb as a type of Christ. And then the high priest would collect the blood, but he didn't stop there. Then he would walk the steps into the
tabernacle or the temple, first into the first room, the holy place, and then through the curtain to the most holy place, where God's throne was above the Ark of the Covenant, and he would sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, the blood had come home. And then God would reach out to his people with forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. But it wasn't the perfect sacrifice, so he would walk out again, and then the same would be repeated next year. Not so with Christ. On the day of ascension, the blood went home, not to an earthly most holy place in heaven, but to a heavenly one, the real most holy place in heaven. And the blood went there. And he sat down at the right hand of God. He didn't stand. He sat because it was done. He didn't have to go back to earth and do it again next year and the year after. The sacrifice is completed. The mediator, your mediator, is at God's right hand and he's there to stay. Think about that. The blood, the sacrifice that paid for your sin is always in the presence of God. Your mediator is always there. Forgiveness is always waiting for you. First, it stands for mediation. He's there as our mediator. His blood is speaking for us. That second, intercession. His blood is speaking for us. It's not only there, but speaking. He, our perfect sacrifice, is seated there on the throne. And he's always interceding for us at the right hand of God, as we read in Romans 8. Christ Jesus is the one who died more than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God more than that, who is interceding for us. What does that mean? Interceding. Well, it means to speak on someone's behalf as their advocate, to advocate for someone. Matthew Henry defines intercession this way. Jesus is agent for us there in heaven, an advocate for us to answer all accusations, to put in our plea, to prosecute it with effect, to appear for us and present our petition. Jesus intercedes for us before God. He talks to the Father. What does he say? 1 John 2, verse 2. Please forgive my people's sins. I write this to you, dear children, so that you won't sin. 1 John 1, 2, verse 1. But in case anybody does sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus puts in a good word for you. Not saying to the Father, he really didn't do that, but he's saying, the Lamb of God is at your side, Heavenly Father. I shed my blood for that sin too. And he asks the Father for gifts for us. That's what John says. In that day, Jesus says, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you in my name. And so we present our requests. And Jesus takes those requests and he brings them to the Father. Intercession. Intercession also in our time of need. I've prayed for you. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. Satan wants to have you and sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. Well, what he did to Peter on earth, he does for us in heaven. He sees the devil's assaults. He sees our weaknesses, our temptations. I've prayed for you right now. Jesus knows what you're facing better than what you know you're facing. And he knows what you're going to be facing tomorrow, and he's praying for you now for tomorrow. And that's why your faith is not going to fail, believers. Not because you're so tough, but because you got somebody at heaven's throne, he's got the Father's ear, and he's praying for you. He's interceding. Mediation. Second, intercession. Third, reservation. Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for us. John 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go there to prepare a place for you. That's what he did when he ascended. All our names were on his breastplate as the high priest. He went up to heaven to the Father's house and he put our names on our rooms and he reserved a spot for us. It's something like a dad immigrating to a new country. Let's say he goes ahead of the rest of his family. He finds a house, he settles in it. And when he finds a house and he settles in it, he's actually securing a home for his whole family, not just for himself. Well, that's what Jesus did. He's going up for us, for all the chosen ones for whom Jesus has died. All his people. Everyone who believes. Whether they're Abraham believing in the Old Testament, or Peter, James, and John believing in his lifetime, or we who believe today. All our names are written on his wounds, in his heart, we sang in 277. Those names he brought up with him. And he reserved a place, a room for us. I bought that spot for you with my blood, and nobody's going to take that away.
and your room is waiting for you. It's an image of being right in the presence of the Father. You get to live in an apartment in the Father's house. Apartment. And then you got to go to Revelation 21 and 22 to understand that garden city. That's your apartment. But it's the image of intimacy right with the Father. Mediation. The blood shed for you is in the presence of the Father. Intercession. That blood is always speaking a word in your defense. Reservation. That blood is used to put your name on your room. A spot is reserved for you. The house that Jesus went to is yours. It's secured. And representation. Remember, He's not only our substitute, but our representative. Again, remember how the Old Testament high priest, when he went into the temple, the tabernacle, he had on his breastplate 12 stones. On his breastplate, with the names of the 12 tribes written on them. He went there into the presence of the Father as a representative of the people, so that as he went in, the people were going in with him. They watched. They recognized our names are going in with the high priest. Well, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he took you with him so that your citizenship is in heaven. Your name is in heaven. You are there in principle. You are there, though you live on earth. Your name is there. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is there in Him. And that's what Ephesians 2 verse 7 says. God seated us with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms. You're already seated on the throne with Him, in a sense. So keep your head and your heart in heaven, not on earth, says Paul in Colossians 3. Because that's where you're home. And keep a loose grip on earthly things and a tight grip on Christ in heaven. Because that's where your life is. That's where your destiny is. That's where your home is, your true home. That's where your future is. We get so stuck, don't we, with the here and now. But Jesus goes to the podium. He's saying, eyes on me. Here's the goal. Heavenly glory. Mediation, intercession, reservation, representation, accession to the throne of the universe. When Jesus ascended to the throne of the universe as head over all things to rule over his enemies, a great revolution happened in the universe. A great change happened in the world history. You know, before Jesus ascended, Satan is called the prince of this world. He rules the nations. He governs the peoples of the world. The world is in darkness. But when Jesus ascended to heaven, he kicked Satan off the throne. There was war, says Revelation 12, between Michael and his angels and Satan, the dragon, and his angels. And the dragon was thrown out of heaven. What a huge change that happened 2,000 years ago. And the proof is in the fact that Satan's kingdom is little by little being destroyed. And Christ's kingdom is little by little but surely advancing. Just look at what's happened over 2,000 years. The church beginning with a little group of 120 people in one place in Jerusalem. And now numbering in the billions with congregations over all the earth. Accession. We hope to look at that more in Lord's Day 19, as well as the sixth thing, empowerment. Because when Jesus ascended, he said, I'm going there. So I can receive from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and pour Him out on you and empower you for mission. We also hope to look at that in Lord's Day 19. Empowerment for mission. So a member of our human race has broken through the barrier in our flesh. He's gone to heaven. And that's a guarantee that He's going to take us there. The rest of a harvest is going to follow. He made it there, so therefore we will too. And you see the importance of belonging to Him by faith. If you're not united to Jesus, no heaven. The door is shut because He's the door. You choose hell for yourself. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your life to Him. Ask you to cleanse you from your sin. Give you a new life. Change you. By faith, you're connected to Him. You're united. And He's on the throne for you. And He's the doorway to heaven. Well, that's what we see secondly. The exaltation of Christians in Christ's ascension,
what it means for us. And we'll look just at three things: access, assurance, and ascent. Access to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Well, the way, the truth, and the life is in the presence of the Father. He's right next to him, the right hand of the throne of the Majesty. And he's our door. So through him, we're close to God and we're close to heaven. We have access to God. Hebrews 4 says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. So we've got a high priest at the right hand of God. Let's draw near. We have access now to God. We have a doorway to God. Jesus, he's right there. Think of what that means. The one who is there is our own flesh. He knows what weakness is. He's been there. He knows what suffering is. He knows what temptation is. He knows what fear is. He knows what grief is. And so you may take to him all your weakness, all your worry, all your woes, and they're made known to the Father by Jesus Christ, your intercessor and your advocate and your mediator. We have access unto God in all our troubles. But also, whenever we worship God, we don't have to think, will God accept us? Because Jesus, who gives us access to God, is at the right hand of God, and so the door is always open. And when we come in the name of Jesus, trusting in Jesus as the reason God accepts us, our worship is always acceptable to God. We offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ, says 1 Peter. Or says Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2. And whenever we pray, we have this confidence that the doorway, the one who makes our prayers right, acceptable, is at God's right hand. So God will always hear and answer our prayers when we pray in faith, trusting in Jesus. He's always there. Access unto God. Because our mediator, who's the way, the truth, and the life, our intercessor is at God's right hand, we have access to God and worship and prayer and in every need all the time. And the Bible keeps saying, so draw near, draw near, draw near. Take it to the Lord. Go to him. You have a mediator. You have a doorway. God will not turn you away because Jesus is there. He'll make your prayers right when you think that your prayers will be imperfect, as they will be. What else does it mean for us? Assurance. Back to Romans 8. If you look at Romans 8, 33 and 34, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, is at the right hand of God and is indeed interceding for us. So, you get all these accusations flying at you, right? Satan accuses you. You're such a sinner. You're so unworthy. God will never accept you into his heaven. You just have spoiled your salvation. The world accuses you, looks at you very carefully under a microscope, sees your inconsistencies. The world accuses you, and your conscience does too, because we sin. So we got all these accusations, and he asks, who is to condemn? If God is for you, who is to condemn? And then he says, Christ Jesus, who's at the right hand of God, or Christ Jesus, who died. So he first paid for your sin, who rose. He shared with you the benefits of that payment. And as at the right hand of God, he rules now. That payment rules and is interceding for you. He's defending you. That's a fourfold argument that says there's no way that you can ever be condemned. When he died for your sin, he rose for your sin, he ascended for your sin, and he intercedes for you. Absolutely no way, no amount of accusation can undo your justification, the pleading of Christ for you, and leave you condemned. That's the point here. Total assurance of salvation. Your sacrifice has moved from the cross where it was purchased, to the resurrection where it was shared, to the throne where it rules, and it's always in the presence of God. Jesus' blood is always in the presence of God. Jesus' blood shed for you. What does it mean for us? Constant access to God and to heaven, because Jesus, our mediator, is there representing us. What does it mean for us? Total, complete assurance of salvation, because Jesus is there. He died, He rose, He's on the throne, He's interceding. There's no way your sin can get in the way of your salvation and leave you condemned. Absolutely no way. And then the third thing, the ascent of our hearts and minds to heaven. Jesus went ahead of us. And He went to heaven, and when He went there, He made that the goal of our lives. As He rose from earth to heaven, He's saying to us, to His disciples, to all believers, lift up your hearts and minds to heaven and put your focus there. Because that's where your life is. That's where your Savior is. That's where your future is. That's where your glory is. It's tied up with Christ in heaven. So let your desires be homeward. Let your focus be on your homecoming, to be with the Lord forever. That's Jesus' focus for us, He said in John 14. I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. And if I go to heaven to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that you may be there also with me. That's my goal for you, is take you to be with me where I am. And that ought to be your goal for you. I'm on the podium. All eyes on me, says Jesus. Keep your focus there on the reward. On earth, we must then also be focused on going there to be with Him. And do you know, that's the only way your life can really have relevance here on earth. If you're heavenly minded, if you're living as one who's set on Christ, He's the answer. He's the hope. He's the help. He's the restorer. He's the redeemer everybody needs. So when you're focused on Him, as you parent your children, as you live with your spouse, as you go to work, as you go to school, you'll make a splash in this world for Christ. You'll lead other people to see that's where the hope is, that's where the glory is, not in this world. And I conclude with what we looked at earlier one time, Colossians 3, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is now, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died to sin, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So let His ascension remind you today where your head and your heart must be. I say to my son Levi often, he's a dairy farmer, Levi, don't let yourself get cowhead. That is, don't let cows be the driving force in your life, the only thing that really matters. Everything else is secondary. Don't let yourself get cowhead. Keep a kingdom head, a mind and heart focused on Jesus and His kingdom and the coming of His kingdom. Because only then can you be the best possible dairy farmer. When Jesus comes before cows and heaven comes before the farm. Well, don't let yourself get cow head or car head or wife head or husband head or whatever it might be that we becomes our idol. Because only when your head is in heaven and your heart is on Christ, who ascended there, can you really live a meaningful life here, a happy life, a glorious life in this world. May God direct our hearts to the podium, the throne, where Christ, our forerunner, has gone on our behalf. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for exalting Jesus Christ to your right hand. Thank you that Jesus was successful. He completed His mission and He was able to go back to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you're there not for yourself, but you're interceding for us. You've reserved a place for us. And now your work is to take us to be with you where you are in glory. And so work in us so that we don't get a head that's stuck on this earth, but work in us so that we remain in the power of your Spirit, passionately focused on Christ, our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.